Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's a great Sunday to be together as a church family, and so we welcome you if you are here inside of our sanctuary. Welcome our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live and who are saying hello to each other and good morning to each other. We also welcome our friends who are joining us through our church website. And so wherever we find ourselves in worship today, we give thanks and praise for God's love and blessing upon our life here this morning. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor. It's my pleasure to welcome you all. And so as we're gathered for worship, we invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find a tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. And so we ask you to tear it off now and fill it out and let us know that you were here with us in worship today. On the back side, you can check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about life and work and ministry here in our church. If you would like to get more involved or learn more information about something that we do in the life of the church, you can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you have in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are located outside the sanctuary on both the left and right-hand side. You can take it with you as you leave the sanctuary after our service today. For our friends who are joining us online, we invite you to go to our church website, burlingtondoc.org. There you can download a copy of today's worship bulletin. You can follow along with us from wherever you find yourself this morning. On the very back of your bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church. We're looking forward to Trunk or Treat happening today from 3 to 4:30 outside in our church parking lot. We are praying for the rain to kind of stay away or at least be pushed back a little bit. And so lots of folks have already signed up, and so we are so thankful for that. Lots of folks have also donated candy, and for that we give thanks to God. And so we've been advertising this kind of all around the community for a few months, and so we hope that we have a great turnout sharing God's love by offering a little trunk or treat here in our parking lot this afternoon. We're also selling tickets today for our upcoming Harvest Dinner, which is Thursday, November the 17th. This is like our all-church Thanksgiving meal. And so we hope that you will buy a ticket after church today for our Fall Harvest Dinner. It is always a great annual tradition stretching back years here in our congregation. And so we hope that you'll make plans to come to a Harvest Dinner here soon. Lastly, you see a little note in your bulletin that we are still receiving our commitment cards today. Our Stewardship and Finance Committee have asked us to consider the gifts that we have and that we give together for our church as we plan our 2023 church budget. And so thanks to all those folks who have already brought it back here today. And if you didn't bring it back yet, you can take it home and you can bring it with you next Sunday morning. We certainly pray for God's love and blessing on us as we use our gifts to share the good news of Jesus Christ through the ministry of our church. Jan Logan walked in the door and I was going to come right on up. He's going to share a word about our feasibility study for renovations here in our church. Welcome, man.
Thank you. I'm a little late. Will you please pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this house of worship every Sunday with our heart full of love, coming here to tell you how much we love you and how much we need you. This is a special place for us, whether it be weddings or funerals or memories. And we cherish the opportunity to come here because we are really family. We love one another. We have the same needs, and most of all, we look up to you, Heavenly Father, to guide, direct us, whatever we do. So, dear God, in the future steps that we take, we ask for your continual presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, exciting things here at Christian Church. I better get my glasses to tell you this, because I'm so excited about it. You know, one time we had the rumor going around we was going to raise millions and millions of dollars to do this and do that. That's gone. We are perfectly happy with the way things are now. And of course, we know that we've got our envelopes going out. That money is used to keep the building going, heat, electricity, salaries, etc. Now we're going to take a look at the facility we have, this precious house that we come together as a family and come to worship the Lord. We have some upkeep we need. And I'll tell you right now, we do have a property fund and a building expansion fund that we can use for to help us with this. But we're also going to need your help financially. And the projects we're looking at, we have kitchen renovation. We really need to do some expanding in our kitchen and modernizing it if we continue to serve the larger numbers we have. It's a precious part of our church. And then we have office. Remember, we're going to be getting us a youth minister someday, and we're going to need a place for that individual. And we're going to need a place to expand our offices. So we're looking at that. And that will just include expansion, not building a new building. And then we got fellowship hall renovation right here, this precious building that we're sitting in. You know, and now our hall, we have our meetings and everything. Man, that is growing a little too small. So we're looking at expanding it somehow, maybe taking the stage out or something so we have more room in there. For wedding receptions, for church activities. The one that probably everybody would agree with is our parking lot. That's a continual thing. And so far we haven't lost anybody in any of those holes, but it could happen. Besides that, the car manufacturers love it when you come to them, your car's all out of shape. And you say, what have you been running to? Well, we've been going to church. No. Then the one that I've heard a lot of people come to us and be concerned with is this precious place here, the sanctuary. We've talked about replacing the carpets. Some of the pews need a lot of work on them. But it's just keeping our facilities up to date and making sure they don't go downhill fast. And then, of course, last but not least, outside, ground, anything we need to do out there. And remember, what we're going to do is a survey. We're not going to ask you right away how much money you're willing to give, but just have you rank what you think the most important things are to do for our church. And I think Pastor Dave said those will be ready next week. Next week we will have those, and we'll let people take a look at them. It's your decision. It's not the board's decision. It's not the trustees' decision. It's your decision on what we're going to do and what we need the most. So we need your input. And so when we get those ballots out next week, they won't be ballots. It'll be your idea of what you think we need to do first. Because we probably won't be able to do all these at once. It would take quite a bit of money. And time. You're not going to replace the carpet and do that in here in a week's time. You're not going to fix the parking lot in a week's time. So, we're going to get our priorities. You are going to set the priorities. And we can do it. Praise God.
As Pastor Dave said, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we appreciate our pastors all of the time. But we want them just today especially to know how much we do appreciate them. And so I have a few words. Sometimes, as we travel through this world, our lives are touched by pastors who make a profound impact on us. Pastors whose kindness and sense of humanity serve to make our days just that much brighter. Pastors who remind us of Jesus in his goodness and capacity to reach out to others. Pastors who take the time to extend their hands and hearts to all those in need. Pastors who, like shepherds, tend their flock, young and old, with love and devotion. Such pastors are you, and we are grateful and blessed by your presence in our lives.
Thank you very much. And I'm not just saying this. Dave and I comment frequently how thankful we are for this congregation. We are as thankful for you as you might be for us. And so we know that we are blessed by a supportive and loving and wonderfully active congregation. And so we give thanks for being here each and every day.
Let us pray. O love of God of grace, you have given us minds to know you and hearts to love you and voices to sing of your praise. Fill us with your spirit that we might celebrate your glory and truly worship you as we gather together. Help us, O God, to clear away the clutter from our lives in this hour so that we might see you and your love for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You're invited to be seated, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come down forward and meet Pastor Brooke for today's children's moment.
We have such crowded steps and area today. Hello, everybody. How are you doing today?
Enthusiastic.
You almost blew me right off the step. Goodness sakes. We are enthusiastic. Good morning, everyone. I was thinking today, this week, a little bit about the game of basketball. Now, if you were here for first service, please don't give anything away, okay? Don't give away the... Yeah, I know. You've got the inside information, so keep that to yourself till the end. What are some things that we need if we want to play basketball? What are some things we might need? Jaden? Well, I'm going to get to that last. So if someone told you that, I'm going to pretend no one heard it. We're going to get to that one last. What do we need? We need the court, of course. Now, I don't have a whole court with me, but I did bring a little basket with me today, and I heard you mentioning the basket. I also brought this cute basketball, a little smaller than we usually play with. What are some of the other things we need to play basketball? Yeah.
We need to bounce it.
Yes, we need some of those skills that we need. We need to throw it. Yep, absolutely. What else do we need? We need people, right? We need some people to play the game. So these are all really helpful parts of us playing basketball. But there's something else that's a little tricky that isn't something you can really get better at or work at or improve at. But there's something that can be kind of important for playing basketball. Does anybody have any ideas? Yeah. Oh, you need to be tall. Yes, and a bunch of kids already knew that from first service. Being tall is something that we really can't wish for, or I mean, we can pray for it, but we'll be as tall as we're going to be, right? But being tall is important in basketball, and in fact, a lot of professional basketball players are very, very tall. Like, so tall, we'd all probably be staring up at them because they're so tall. But you need a scoreboard. You're right. We need that too. But did you know that you could be good at basketball even if you don't happen to be tall? There are some great players who aren't as tall. So I want to tell you about one. His name is Nate Archibald. When Nate finished college, most of the professional teams didn't want to take a chance on him because he was so short. In fact, his nickname was Tiny. And so he was a great basketball player, but a lot of them overlooked him because he was so short. But the Cincinnati Royals decided to take a chance on him, and he made it into the NBA. He played for 14 seasons, was very successful, won lots of awards, and he set records. He was a really great shooter, and he was really fast. So even though he wasn't as tall as most basketball players, he was still amazing. The Bible tells us about another man who has become great even though he was not very tall. His name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was not only short, but he was also kind of disliked by a lot of people because he was a tax collector. And some of us may remember that a tax collector often was disliked because they were thought of as maybe cheating people out of money or maybe a little bit stealing. People didn't really like tax collectors much, but Zacchaeus was a tax collector, okay? So one day Zacchaeus was out, he heard that Jesus was coming, and he really wanted to see him. Now what happens, you all who are kids and we're a little short right now, what happens when you're in a big crowd of people who are taller than you? What happens? You can't see anything, right? And you're looking and you can't. That's probably how Zacchaeus was feeling. It's really loud in a crowd, too. I agree. I don't really love loud noises. But you can't see, right? And so Zacchaeus, because he wanted to see Jesus, he decided he was going to have to get up high to see Jesus. So he climbed a tree. And he was hanging out in the tree. And Jesus walked by, and do you know that out of all this crowd, Jesus looked up and he said by name, he said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to come have lunch at your house today. Now, I have to imagine that other people weren't very happy about that. In fact, the Bible says they were grumbling because here's this guy who most people think is a bad guy. Why would Jesus want to go with him? But the amazing thing is, even though people thought that, Jesus knew him. Jesus said, I want to spend time with you. So Zacchaeus came down and immediately he said to Jesus, I will make right all of the things I've done wrong. I'll pay back the things I've taken. I will give to the poor. I will change my life. I'll do better. And so even though Zacchaeus wasn't a big man, wasn't a tall man, he became kind of a giant in God's kingdom because that day he decided to follow Jesus. And most of us are not very tall, and we might get taller, but maybe we might not be tall in our lives, and that's okay. No matter our size, no matter our height, no matter anything about us, God loves us, God knows each and every one of us, and God wants a relationship with us. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for Zacchaeus. We thank you that even though he was a short man, he was a big man with a big heart, and that he followed Jesus. He knew the ways that he was doing were wrong, and so he made those changes. Help us to follow you. Help us to right the things that are wrong. Help us to keep our eyes on you so that we can follow you greatly through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we go anywhere, if you have been practicing with the kids' choir, I'm going to invite you to stay up here. And if you have not, you can go sit down, and that way you can listen to the beautiful music. What a gift it is for us to join together in worship together and in prayer. Let us go to God in prayer together. Loving God, humbly we come before you, sensing our need for your forgiveness and grace. We come not with grandiose statements about our worthiness, but with acknowledgement that we are only whole within your love and companionship. Grant us this day the grace which you radically give to all who seek it, including those who do not deserve it. We do not deserve it, God, and yet you freely lavish your forgiveness and restorative love upon us. We thank you for the scriptures which bring us stark reminders of our human situation. Today we are reminded of Zacchaeus and his powerful need to be received, to be loved and to be accepted, to be blessed and to be forgiven. He reflects some of the deepest needs of humankind, and our longings are the same as his were that day when he longed to see Jesus. We are also reminded that we are like the crowd that day and the host of judgmental, rejecting people who could not bear to behold such grace and acceptance. All they could do was complain and grumble about the company that Jesus was keeping that day. We confess that we can sometimes be like them. How often we feel that the wayward ought to get what they deserve. How often we feel like people need to watch the company they keep. How often we feel the sinner has no right to be a part of us. How often are we condemning and self-righteous as we place limits upon your love and grace? In such times, O God, help us to climb above the prejudices we hold. In such times, remind us that we are all children of Abraham. Help us to see the transforming Jesus who receives, loves, accepts, blesses, and forgives the worst of sinners and makes room for all of us in his company. Help us to see that he would come to dwell with each of us. Help us to make room for him and also for all of your children. Oh God, we bring before you those who struggle and find themselves in need of healing and redemption. We pray for those on our prayer list, those who are going through life challenges and health concerns. Be near to those who need you, strengthening those who are fighting to get well. Give bodily healing to the weak and personal and spiritual healing to those who need it. We pray for any who are suffering through family trials, mental health concerns or crises, or facing other life hardships. We know that you are there with all who seek your name. Oh God, we pray your blessing on our congregation during these times of growth and activity.
We pray especially for our stewardship season, giving thanks for the commitments already made. Bless those commitments, and as always, we pray that every dollar that comes into this church contributes to our efforts to share your love with the world. We give thanks this day for the blessings that you share with us in life. Help us to look around and consider our life as gifts given directly from you. Help us to reframe hardships and look for ways to be thankful even in those hard times. We give thanks above all for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that gift and for the love that he showed to us. In his name, we pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Thanks be to God for God's good word today.
Back in the day when I was a kid in Sunday school, each and every week we began each Sunday by gathering all the students, all the kids in the sanctuary. We all lined up in the back pews in the church before heading to our classes, and there together we sang a bunch of catchy songs. It was like a short little kind of opening session that probably didn't last more than like 10, like 15 minutes tops. And though it has been years since I was a kid in Sunday school, I can still remember those songs as if it was yesterday. We'd sing the song, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide, we would sing. We would sing with all the actions, leaving out a word as we went along with each verse, singing it faster and faster, trying to keep on getting it right every time. We sang, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, with the actions along with it. In later days, we would even sing the ever-popular bump another rump, bump a rump next to you, bump another rump, and sing the song. We'd see scratch on their back, shake another hand, all with alleluia, alleluia, alleluia as the chorus there. One of my favorites, though, was the fantastic song about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he, climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I can still picture myself sitting in the pews of the First Christian Church in North Kansas City, Missouri, singing this song and all the other ones with my friends when I was 8 years old. The actions and the words are like forever ingrained in my mind. They're stuck on repeat until the end of time. Now, the great thing about these songs that we sing to our kids sing for us, that the songs that we sing with our band, even the ones that are in our hymnal, these songs that we sing teach us about our faith. We learn about God's love being deep and wide. We learn about letting the light of Christ shine all over the world and not letting anything snuff it out. We sing about singing alleluia and giving praises to God. We even learn from our faith in the story about Zacchaeus. We meet him today, and with Zacchaeus, we know that we don't know too much about him. We basically only know two things. He's a tax collector, and he was short. That's about it. We don't know his family. We don't know his friends. We don't know where he grew up. But these two things can teach us still about the love of Jesus Christ. See, maybe you're with us last week in worship, or maybe you were with us online. Then last week you heard we talked about Jesus with a Pharisee and also a tax collector. And in the sermon last week, we heard about how tax collectors were hated by people all over the place, because in that story, Jesus told us that the tax collectors were working for the foreign government, collecting taxes for them far away, taking money from their own people and sending it far away, sometimes very often collecting a little bit on their own on the side, but mostly taking from God's own people. And so in this, we hear about Zacchaeus today, and he is one of those kind of peoples. And so we know the story that Jesus was going to pass by Zacchaeus' way, and he wanted to see Jesus, but he was short. He was vertically challenged, as we might say today. And so what do you do whenever you are short? Of course, you climb a tree. And so that's what he did. He climbs right up that tree. Jesus walks by, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today." We've heard the story, and we know the song with it. And we can even imagine the radical nature of what Jesus is doing, because here comes the Messiah and the Son of God inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house, a tax collector, to eat. If you've read the Bible, you know that Jesus does this all the time. He was always inviting himself over to people's house. Prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors too. All the folks on the margins of society. He says, "I'm coming to your house for lunch." And I love Zacchaeus' response, because I know what our response would be. If someone came up to you before church today and they said, "I'm going to come to your house today at 11:30. I can't wait to have what you have fixed. I hope it's going to be a fantastic time of a celebration." If they said this to you, you may say, "Can you wait a few hours? Can you like come back after a bit? I got to go home and like do the dishes and pick up the trash and like close my closet door that I've like jammed everything in over the past few weeks. Can you just come back a different day than today?" But that's what he does. In fact, my wife Liz and I were actually talking about this passage earlier this week, and like her thought was, if Zacchaeus was like the tax people that we know in our lives, during the months of January to April, they are swamped with work. And so if that's the case, I'm willing to bet that Zacchaeus' house was not ready for a picture to show up on Facebook and Instagram. It wasn't ready for the newspaper to come by with a photographer there. Everything was not tidy and situated. There was a mess to be found, I'm dead sure. But when Zacchaeus hears his invitation that Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house," Zacchaeus says, "Sure." In fact, the gospel writer Luke says that Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus with joy and happiness. He's happy to welcome him home. And there in that moment, at his house for sure, Jesus sees him for who he really is. Dirty socks, warts and all, dusty countertops, this is who Zacchaeus is, and Jesus is so happy to be there. I love the story. I love the song that gets stuck in my head that actually goes along with it. I love it all because Zacchaeus, I'm convinced, makes us stop and think. It begs the question in our lives, what is standing in the way for us from seeing Jesus? I mean, Zacchaeus, we heard, was short, and so he like climbed a tree. He like got up on a ladder to actually see Jesus there. And so what is standing in our way of our relationship with Jesus Christ? I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's that you feel like your life isn't exactly how it should be. That's not all tidy and situated. Maybe there are dirty socks. Maybe there are dishes left out. But maybe even more than that, maybe there is bitterness and struggle. Maybe there is guilt, and maybe there is doubt that like we can't seem to get rid of. Maybe we are afraid to let people see exactly who we really are, and we feel like we always have to be on and have an image and almost put on a show. I mean, I don't know what it is for you, but for sure we are all in the same boat together. We all have things that get in the way of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the thing about the story is that Jesus doesn't seem to care. I mean, he literally sees Zacchaeus for who he really is, a sinner and a tax collector, like a thief and like a cheat, a guy who has all kinds of problems. But not only does he go to his house, but he names him as being a child of Abraham, a child of God. He loves him for all of his mistakes because he knows that God's love is for everyone at every time and every place. I mean, it's like that for us too. Jesus sees us as we really are and offers us words of blessing despite our mistakes. He loves us and redeems us and offers us grace because that is who Jesus is. And that's the good news of the gospel. Now, I love this passage for us, especially on this Sunday in the life of our church. Here on this day when we are receiving and giving thanks to 2023 commitment and pledge cards, as we're looking forward to what God is going to do through us next year as a church family, even as we talk about renovating our building and our space so we can live out our vision to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This passage is a reminder for us of what we do as a congregation at the most basic of levels. I mean, for sure, we do all kinds of things as a church family. Dinners and meals and Sunday school classes and bounce houses and giving away candy. We know that we build beds for kids here in Des Moines County. We give away books to students down at Blackhawk School. We give away coats to friends in the Midtown Gardens neighborhood. The list and activities of things that we do as a church family is long and is extensive, and we praise God for it. But the reason behind all of it, the purpose actually why we have a church budget, we exist to share the message of Jesus Christ, to allow other people to see Jesus, because we're here to proclaim the good news of God's love in our world. We get to say and point the way that there is a God who's with us and loves us. That God didn't just create us and then stand back and watch things fall apart, but God is active in us and through us. And God sent Jesus into this world to not only save us and redeem us, but to show us the way. All we have to do is look to God and we see Christ. And so this means that our tithes and our offerings and the things that we put in the offering plate or the things that come out of our checking account help clear the way so that Christ may be seen and known. That's what we do together as a church family at the most basic of levels. Help the world see Christ moving here and now. I mean, that is why we keep on teaching this story and singing this song about Zacchaeus, this wee little man. We keep on telling his story because he reminds us that Jesus sees us and knows us and loves us, simply as being children of God. Thanks be to God for his redeeming grace today. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is the light of our lives and the one who came to show us the way to you. We pray, O God, that his Spirit may touch us once again in this hour of worship. We pray, O God, that we can clear away any of the distractions, any of the troubles, any of the cares of this world that we may carry here. Help them to set them aside so that we can see you as you see us. As children of God, blessed, loved, and redeemed. And so here and now we recommit our lives to you once again. In the name of Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.